This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How is everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Just some admin, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, we've got our workbook. This tafsir of Surah Kahf is a bit in depth, and to keep track of what's happening, we gave you a little workbook. So don't worry, there will be no marking or anything like that. So before you leave the masjid, inshallah, just take your Surah Kahf workbook. We said that Surah Kahf is broken into, we'll break it up into 8 sections. Last night we finished the first section, which entails the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf. We spoke yesterday about the themes behind it, the link between protection from fitna and the Quran being the guidance in times of hardship. And to refresh your memory, the audios are available, inshallah. But tonight we'll move on to the second section and the first story of Surah Al-Kahf. We see that the Yahud asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, about 3 questions. What are those 3 questions they asked him about? The people of the cave, and they asked him about the man who traveled through the world, which is Dhul-Qarnayn. His story will come at the end. And the last question they asked, the 3 question, the soul, the ruh, they asked about the soul, which Allah answered in Surah Isra, saying that the soul belongs to Allah, that no information has been given basically to anybody. So now we talk about the 7, the sleepers in the cave, or the Ashab al-Kahf. And from their story, the name of the surah comes. The surah's name is the surah of the cave. It's mentioned after them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in verse number 9, أَمْ حَسِبَتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. Allah asks them, are you really, is this what impresses you, the people of the cave? Are you asking about that? Meaning, the way Allah actually phrased the ayah is to say, that's not such an impressive thing. You're fighting and debating, and Allah will talk more about their debates. You're focusing so much on something which isn't that important. But if you really want to know about them, then I will tell you their story. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will summarize, and this is beautiful the way Allah presents the story. Allah presents the story in summary. 3 ayat giving the whole story in summary. Basically telling them, remember, they're challenging the Prophet peace be upon him. Allah gives all the information in 3 ayat. These are the facts you know. Now I will give you additional facts that you don't know. So before we go into the surah, let's talk about from a non-Islamic perspective. The story of the sleepers in the cave. As we said, the Jews are asking the question. You'd find that this is a story which you find in Christianity and Judaism. And in fact, the 7 sleepers of Ephesus, as they are called. So the scholars of Islam are trying to link, who were these sleepers in the cave? They were obviously there before Islam. This is before the Quran was revealed. Who were they? Which era did they live in? So there was a group of Christians in Arabia. So they were a sect of Christianity in Arabia who used to celebrate the story of what they called the 7 sleepers of Ephesus. Ephesus is a city in Turkey. It's an area in Turkey. And they believe that about 250 years after Nabi Isa, this is about 300 years before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so before the Prophet peace be upon him came, there was a Roman emperor called Decius who were persecuted Christians. And he came to this area, this city called Ephesus, and he demanded that everybody come and pay homage. They should put their allegiance to him and the gods that they used to worship. And then you had 7 young people, youth, sons of noblemen, who got together and they studied Christianity and they became Christians in secret. And then their story became, they were found out. So they had, were summoned before the king and they were about to be arrested, so they ran away. And they hid inside a cave, 7 of them. And when they were, when it was discovered that they ran into this cave, Decius had them buried alive. He closed the cave up, and he said, there they will stay, and they will die. So they were blocked up in the cave. 300 years later, or so, a few centuries later, someone went in and he uncovered the cave. He forgot, people forgot about these people that were buried alive in this cave. And when he opened the cave, he found there were these 7 people and they were alive. And when they came out of the cave, they found that the whole city had become Christian. And not long after that, when the bishop came to test them and he found that these really are, you know, people that had lived 300 years ago, they died. They died within a few days. And the Christian church then built, you know, like a masjid on top of this area, and they started to worship them as saints. So you'd find in the pictures, if we go back to the pictures of them, one more back, you'd find there's like a halo around their head. That circle around their head is like that light around, it's like called a halo. When you see that in pictures of Christianity, it means that they are saints. Now, what the Christians used to believe, which is obviously wrong, that when someone was a saint and they died, then they were like a wali. You could actually make dua to them, that they will courier your duas to Allah. So they would, the church would say, these are our saints. And so certain groups of Christians actually made these seven youth into saints. And there used to be a festival, an Eid, which they would celebrate annually. So this happened before Islam, and this was happening before the coming of the Quran. So the Jews, and that's why some of us sitting are, you know, debate whether it's a Jewish story or a Christian story, they ask the Prophet about this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now responds. In ayah number 10, 11 and 12, Allah summarizes their story. Allah says, okay, these are the facts that you know. Allah says, remember when the youth retreated to the cave and said, our Lord, grant from us mercy from yourself and prepare for us from our affairs right guidance, meaning make easy our way, show us a way out. So Allah says that number one, they were young people, youth, teenagers. All they did is they ran away into a cave for protection and they made dua. Oh Allah, have mercy on us. Oh Allah, guide us. Show us a way out. Grant us a way out. So Allah says, so we cast over their ears. We closed their ears within the cave for a number of years. We made them to sleep. We put them to sleep. Then we awakened them. We raised them up that we might see which of them were best of the two groups who will be best at calculating how long they were sleeping. So Allah basically says to the Jews and the Christians, the rabbis, this is all you have. These are the facts that you have. Now Allah says in the next ayah in detail, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأُهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. But let me tell you their story in truth. I'm going to give you the full details of their story. Number one, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةُ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. So Allah repeats that number one, they were a fitya. They were a group of young people. Now it's amazing that Allah repeats the word twice, and it's very significant when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights their age. You won't find other ayat in the Quran where Allah says that he was a young man or an old man. But the fact that they were seven young people stands out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually names the surah after them. You find a great person like Dhulqarnain that can trap Ya'juj and Ma'juj. You'll find Nabi Musa and Khidr in the surah. You find Nabi Adam mentioned in the surah. You know, great people. Yet the surah is after them. Of all the stories, their story is the one that Allah elevated. Which shows that, you know, there's a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah is amazed at a person who, you know, he worships Allah in his youth. He uses his youth to worship Allah. And that we know, subhanAllah, one of the blessings, the blessing of youth, once that door is closed, it never opens up. And it's very few people that actually take that time of their youth in the worship of Allah. And therefore, they are one of the seven categories under the shade of Allah in the day of Qiyamah. So we know the very famous hadith. Allah said, the Prophet peace be upon him tells us, on the day of Qiyamah, when the sun is brought low, the only shade will be the shade of the throne of Allah. So the only landmark on the whole plane of Qiyamah is a flat place. And the only thing that will be there, there's no mountains, there's no hills, the only thing will be Allah's throne, Arsh. So the only thing that will cast a shadow is the throne of Allah. So everyone will be under the sun, will be boiling, will be suffering under that. Except seven types of people will be admitted. One category is going to be the seven. Let's see if we can go through that seven categories. The first would be an imam, a ruler who is just. A ruler that is just. The second would be a man whose heart is attached to the masjid. Meaning he's the, and he comes and he goes regularly. He is part of the masjid. He finances the masjid. He works in the masjid. He loves the masjid very, very much. That's the second type of person. The third type of person is a youth, a young person, who spends his youth in the ibadah of Allah. Doesn't mean that he's in the masjid 24/7. He just does the basics. He performs his salah on time. He avoids major sin. She dresses correctly. They don't, you know, they're not perfect people, but they're better than what is the norm of the youth. They spend their youth remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third category. The fourth one is somebody that spends his money so secretly that he does not know what his right hand, what his left hand had spent. The fifth one, two people who love each other for the sake of Allah. Meaning, they only get together, they only meet up with one another for the purpose of pleasing Allah. And hopefully we hope this is the case of people who get together on committees, organizations for the furtherance of the deen. They would never have met each other, they would never have been friends, only for the sake of the deen. The sixth person is someone who was invited to commit zina by a woman that is attractive, that not just anyone, because that's easy, right? But by someone that is desirable, of honor, of stature, and they are alone together, and he says, "Inni akhaf Allah, I fear Allah." And the last one, and we hope this one everyone can get, the last one all of us can get, is a man or a woman that in the dark of the night, when everyone is sleeping, that person's eyes are flowing with tears for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, so that is the one category maybe that we can get. But for those of us who are in our youth, in your teens or maybe your early 20s, it's an opportunity to spend your youth in the worship of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a young person who worships Him more than an old person. That if an old person is in the masjid, you know, he's grey, you know, in our mind we picture a wali, an old person in the masjid five times a day, grey beard, big turban, that's a wali of Allah. No, subhanAllah, a young person that performs their salah on time, they're obedient to their parents, they do their best at school, they have friends when they keep away from the maid, they don't drink, go to haram places, indulge in haram, what sins they do are minor, they avoid zina. This is a wali of Allah. A person like that is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah mentions these young people, and you'll see how young they are really, the things that's on their minds. They were a group of young people. They didn't know anything about Islam or the Sharia. They didn't have a Quran. All they knew was, we don't want to worship idols. It didn't make sense to worship stones. So they ran away. They ran away from home. You know, they didn't know where they didn't have no plan. They just, we're going to go away. They're not going to force us to worship. So, innahum fitya, they were a group of young people. Amanu bi rabbihim, they believed in their Lord. Wazidanahum huda, so we increased them in guidance. This technical discussion here. There was a debate back in the day, early in Islam, where the scholars argued whether Iman was something which was static or fluctuated. What do I mean? Is it a on and off switch? You're either a believer or a disbeliever? Or is there like, your Iman grows or decreases? What do you think? Someone says Iman, we spoke about the pillars of Iman. To believe in Allah, the angels, the books, the prophets, the last day, Qadr. So you say you either have it or you don't. That was one school of thought. You either have it or you don't. You're either a believer or a disbeliever. There's no in between. And another group said, no, your Iman increases and decreases. And this was a long debate. It actually had many implications. Certain groups actually, you know, they killed other Muslims because they said, if you commit a major sin, that means you don't have belief. It's gone completely. There's a hadith where the Prophet says, he is not a believer who commits zina. While he's committing zina, he's not a believer. And the one while he steals, he doesn't have Iman while he's stealing. So certain groups that became very brutal, they said this is clear evidence that they don't have Iman. When you commit a sin, you have no Iman, you're a disbeliever at that moment. Other groups said, and this is Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that Iman increases and decreases. The more good you do, the more your Iman increases. And the more sin you do, the more it decreases. And you get to a point, a certain level where it dips below and you're no longer a believer. Right? And Imam Bukhari used this ayah. He said, look, إِنَّهُ فِتْيَةٌ, they were a group amanu, they believed in Allah, وَزِدَنَاهُمْ هُدًى. Then Allah said, I increased them in guidance. They did good, so Allah increased them in Iman. Now, as you go through this month of Ramadan, we were all believers, alhamdulillah, when we entered it. But we know the kind of persons, people that we are, at the end of the month, we're actually better. So there's a correlation. The more good you do, the more Iman you're going to get. And the more Iman you do, the more good you do. And you enter in the cycle of goodness. That's how the Anbiya and the Awliya, they get where they are. Because they're in the cycle of goodness. They do good, they remember Allah. So Allah grants him the strength to do even more good. And so on and so forth. Sin is the same. The more sin you do, the easier it becomes to commit more and more sin. And so your Iman decreases. May Allah protect us. So Allah said that they were a group of young people. They believed in Allah, and Allah increased them in goodness. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, and we tied down their hearts. Meaning they were scared. They were not like superheroes. They were scared. عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا, when they stood up and they said, رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدُوْعَ مِنْ دُونِهِ إِلَهَا, that our Lord, we don't know much anything else. All we know is the one we worship is the creator of the heavens and the earth. We will not make ibadah, worship anyone besides Him. There is no ilah, no worthy, except Him. لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطَا, we should have certainly spoken an excessive, a huge mistake. Now it's beautiful. Some ulama mentions that this was when they were questioned. When they were asked by their parents, or when they were asked by the emperor, what do you say? So they said, we only worship Allah. And if we were to worship any besides Him, then we would have been we would have committed a huge lie. Now look at the Dawah methodology. If they said you people are liars or you people are talking without knowledge, it would have upset them. They use themselves as, you know, hypothetically. They said we would have certainly become fallen into error if we said this kind of thing. So this is a very beautiful analogy of Dawah, and it could have been because of this that they managed to escape instead of being executed immediately. So this is the story. Allah will continue explaining their story in the next few verses, and we'll compare that to the Christian, or the as we said, the Christian narrative of the youth of the cave. And it's amazing how certain facts, which was impossible for the Prophet ﷺ to know, would line up with their discussion, yet Allah will go into detail. Allah will discuss things that they did not know. Allah will tell them, these are the debates and the questions you have, and then Allah will actually give them the final opinion. Like the ulama, like our ulama, they have 3, 4, 5 views, opinions. Allah will say, these are your opinions, but this is the correct opinion. But we'll continue, inshallah, with their story tomorrow. Are there any questions? Any questions? No? So please get your book, your booklets. And we, as I said, we are in the second section. Tonight is prize giving. First we have a question, of course, and a prize giving. So what's going to happen is, those of us who've ticked your cards, we're going to have a book. We're going to pull those cards that were correct, per the rules that Puta Talib and we agreed to set. If you're not in the masjid and your name comes up, then you are disqualified. There'll be 2 prizes for the sisters, 2 prizes for the men as well, just to make sure everything is equal. Yesterday's question, we asked, what do the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf, what do? They protect you from Dajjal. Okay, that's the answer. Today we said, where is Ephesus? We said, these are the 7 youth of Ephesus. This is what the church used to call them. Where is this place, Ephesus? Is it in Jordan, Palestine, Turkey, or Syria? Where is Ephesus? All right? It was on the picture. We actually gave the picture as well. Some people might have been to Ephesus already. So just answer the question. I think this is for next week. So Ubaid is here. You don't have a card in there, right, Ubaid?
No.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so just to make sure there's no conspiracies here. All right, you pull out and you give us a name. This is Fatima Sali. And if, mashallah, the committees, spouses of the committees are allowed to win as well. Mashallah. Auntie Fatima, alhamdulillah, is the first winner. I think what's in the bag, let's see what's the prizes, just to make, so you can make dua. Some people, I don't think they're really keen on these prizes, but maybe if they see it, they'll be more keen on it. I think that there's a cooler bag, right?
Yeah.
It's a cooler bag, and there's a scarf, a Burhanul scarf. A Burhanul beanie. What is this? A pin. A Burhanul pin. Is this an apron?
Yeah.
A Burhanul apron. You see, the men also get the apron. Alhamdulillah. So we fair here, you know. There's a CD of Qira'at recitation. And there's a flask. Right? It's a nice pack, actually. Okay. So, Auntie Fatima, alhamdulillah, our first winner for 2018. The next prize, inshallah. Okay, let me choose one. Shu'aib Benjamin. Shu'aib Benjamin, not here? That's the sad thing. You're not here on prize giving. Now everyone knows you weren't here. Alhamdulillah. Alright. Next one. Fatima Patience. Is she here? No. No. Okay. Let's see. Ilham Khalant. Right? No? Ilham? What is that? Khalant. Okay, Ilham? No? No Ilhams. Okay. What's this?
Muhammad Samsudin?
I think Muhammad Samsudin. No? Oh, yeah, salam. Nobody here. Nobody here. There's problems. All right, inshallah, bismillah, this one. There's not even a name on here. It's just contact details. 072-11-79-795. No? Okay, all right, okay, that the phone number is in. Adnan, mashallah, Adnan is here, alhamdulillah, thank you for saving us, Adnan. Alhamdulillah. Tariq Jacobs? No? Even if you say you're Tariq Jacobs, that's right. Okay. Adnan again? Can't give you another prize? No? Oh, it's a problem. Okay. Wafik Simons. He left. Okay, but he is one of us. He was here. Can we, the Talib can decide. No? Oh, we'll give Wafiq Alhamdulillah as one of the Hufadi here to rush home. So, okay, Wafiq Alhamdulillah, we give him. Also, we all want to get. And one more lady. So, let's find a sister. There's Abdullah, you know. Azra Basir. She's not here. Allah, Mustan. No, she's not here either. Okay. Hafsa Arifdin. Hafsa? Is it? She's here. Alhamdulillah. 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 So those are the prizes. Inshallah, Ubaid will distribute. Jazakallah khair. We continue tomorrow. Please get your booklets. Don't forget, everybody gets the booklet. Please. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.